Over the years, I've been studying and watching the religious systems of the world, and at the same time, I have studied the world system, and I have come to a conclusion that anybody who's in the world system would be far easier to get into the kingdom of God than those who are in religious system. And the reason is this: the world system, they know they're doing wrong because they have a conscience. Unless they go too far where their conscience simply dies on them. But throughout history, the world system knows that it's wrong. They know that what they're doing is against God. This is why they're trying to get rid of God. They try to get him out of the school system, out of the court system. They interestingly understand that they're against God. And they can make a decision whether to go with God or go against him. But the religious systems of the world, they believe that they are with God, even though they're into deception. They will believe with all their heart that they're the right system, the right church, the right organization that is pleasing to God. And thus, in the end, they will have to find out that they have been deceived. So the question is, what is more dangerous? A person thinking that he is right, or a person knowing that he is wrong and still going in the wrong direction? What is more dangerous? To me, the person that is going in the wrong direction can make a choice of turning around. But the person who thinks that he's right, he hasn't got a chance because he knows. He in his heart feels that he is doing the right thing. So how can he repent unless God opens his heart to the truth? This is the danger of religious organizations. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. And what is the power of godliness? It's the cross of Jesus Christ. We have to be saved by grace through faith. It's not of ourselves, it is a gift of God. And today I will bring forth a message that will determine the difference between Christianity and religion. But before I get into this message, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I come before you in the name of Jesus. And I pray, O Lord, that you will anoint this message. You will open people's hearts to the truth of Scripture. Help us to understand and see the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. In Matthew chapter 7, in verse 13, there is a scripture that teaches us this. Enter you into the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many that there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Over the years, as a religious person, I was taught that this scripture means that you have to strip yourself from all worldliness so that you can fit into the gate at the end of your life. But the scripture teaches us here that the gate comes before the narrow way. It says, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life. So you have to fit into that gate so that you can walk the narrow way. The Bible teaches us here that wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many are they that go thereat. So the question is, what is the narrow gate? How do you fit into the narrow gate? I will give you a heads up right from the start. If you try to fit into the narrow gate with anything besides Jesus, the blood of Jesus, you will not fit. If you got your religious organization that you depend on, you will not fit into that gate. The only people that will fit into that gate are those who depend solely on the blood of Jesus for salvation. All others will not fit through there. So we have to understand that. That gate is very narrow. Years ago, when I lived in a religious organization, they would teach us that we need to strip ourselves of all unrighteousness, of all worldly things, of all they had a whole bunch of do's and don'ts so that you may be able to fit into that narrow gate. Well, I have found out by studying the Word of God that the only way you fit in through that gate is with the blood of Jesus. Nothing else will be allowed through there. Now listen to what Scripture teaches us in Matthew chapter 7 in verse 21. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have we cast out devils? In thy name we have done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. When I study this, I am reminded of Mark chapter 16, where the Lord God says, go into all the world, preach the gospel, cast out devils, do good, do everything good to people. Exactly what the Lord commanded us. But here he says, many will say, we have done that. We have cast out devils. And I know the Catholic organization is famous for casting out devils. How on earth they do it, I don't know, because you have to be filled with the Holy Ghost to do that. And helping the poor, the religious organizations, they're helping the poor with millions and millions and millions of dollars. The Bible teaches us here, they will say, have we not done many wonderful works? But the Lord will say, I don't know who you are. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. So if the Bible declares those unworthy to fit through the narrow gate who are doing good, who on earth will enter into the kingdom? Because we have religions, the churches are now getting into this. We have to help one another now. This is the new religion. Being at peace with one another. Yes, that's good. But that's not Christianity. It's fruit of Christianity. We need to understand that. Helping the poor, helping people, that's good. But that's not Christianity. The Bible teaches, though I give my body to be burned, it's not going to help nothing if I don't have the love of Christ within me. So how on earth do I get into the kingdom? In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse 18, there's an interesting scripture. It tells us, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved, it is the power of God. For you see, we, the Christians, we depend on the cross of Calvary to enter into the eternal kingdom of God. We do not depend on our works. Our works that we do is the fruit of what we have received. We have received eternal life through Jesus Christ. And out of appreciation, this is where the fruit of a Christian comes from. We don't do these good things to try to enter into the kingdom. We do them because we have entered into the kingdom. I want to read you a story out of the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 10 in verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. And he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thy almsgiving are come up for a memorial before God. So here's an angel coming in to Cornelius and telling him that his prayers and his almsgiving, that is, he's giving money to the poor, God has recognized it. And God is very pleased with him. But there was a problem. He did not pass the test because the Bible teaches us that the angel told him something different in Acts chapter 10 in verse 5. Now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodged with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. That is very, very interesting. God is bragging on a person how much he's praying, how much money is giving to the poor, what a good man that person is. But that's not good enough, he says. You gotta send for Simon Peter, and he will tell you what to do. And then it tells us, the whole story goes, they went and got Simon Peter. And Simon Peter was one of the apostles of Christ who knew about the gospel. He understood the way of salvation. And in Acts chapter 10 in verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of person. In those days the Jews were separated from the Gentiles, but God had told them to go and speak to Cornelius. And now we can look at this scripture and see that God loves everyone. God is not a respecter of person. He is willing that none perish, and he is willing that everyone hears of this incredible message that the Lord God has brought to the human race. And that is the message of salvation, not by doing good works, but by turning to Jesus. Look at what Acts chapter 10 in verse 38 tells us. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. It says God has anointed Jesus. He had anointed him for what? For taking care of the sin problem. He anointed him with the Holy Ghost and with power. And he went about proving that he is the one by doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Jesus walked around proving he was sent by God by doing good, by casting out devils, by helping the poor, by preaching the message of grace to those that were willing to listen. Jesus Christ himself said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." That's the gospel by Jesus Christ our Lord. And then it tells us in Acts chapter 10 in verse 43, "To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believes on in him shall receive the remission of sin." This is what the gospel is. Listen to this scripture. "To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believes in him shall receive remission of sin." If you believe in Jesus, if you give him your right hand of fellowship, you will receive the forgiveness of sin. It doesn't matter what you did, how bad you were, you will receive the forgiveness of sin if you ask Jesus to do that. And regardless how good you try to be, if you don't ask him for that pardon, for that forgiveness, you will never get through that narrow gate. And that is simply it. You will not fit. It's Jesus plus nothing. It's the blood of Jesus plus nothing. Listen to what Acts chapter 4 tells us in verse 12. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved." This is what we have to turn to for salvation. It's the name of Jesus. So I want you to open your hearts to this. Those of you who are in religious organizations, you will not fit through that door if you do not have the blood of Jesus upon you. And on top of that, you need to leave everything else, put everything else aside. It's only the name of Jesus whereby we are saved. So open your heart to this and become a blessing to yourself. Amen.
Said, "Father, if it be your will, as the sweat turned into blood." All at once his heart stood still, overcome by love. With 10,000 reasons why it didn't have to be, in mercy, love, from the garden where he prayed, straight to Pilate's hall, where his perfect innocence took the blame for all. Hanging on that rugged cross, though he spoke not a word, in heaven, oh, long before I ever bowed the knee. About the time he said, Father, forgive them, without a second thought, he thought of me. And I became the center of attention, and I was laying heavy on his heart. Though the soldiers tore his flesh in before he ever cried, it's finished. Long before I ever bowed the knee. About the time he said, Father, forgive them. Without a second thought, he thought of me.
For this part of the program, I want to talk about the coronavirus and what is happening all over the world. We know that all the nations of the earth were shut down, and there was a reason for it. And the reason is this. It's not necessarily because of the coronavirus. That was brought on by the world system. They're trying to bring in a one world government. It's called the globalists. The globalists are trying to shut down the country so that they can take over. And by the grace of God, God has Donald Trump there to stop all of their efforts. All throughout history, God would always raise somebody up to stop Satan from taking over. We know when people start burning American flags that they're against America. And why is that? It is because America is standing against the globalists. We also know they're starting to burn Bibles. So we know who's at the steering wheel of all that. It's Satan himself. He wants to bring in his one world government. And by the grace of God, God has anointed a person called Donald Trump to stand in their way. Once they have him out of the way, they're going to come for the people. But by the grace of God, he is going to be able to stand because God has anointed him. But we need to pray for him. Regardless how you are, what your feelings are towards Donald Trump, you need to pray for him because he is God's anointed that is standing in the gap right now. All those who are with him, most of them are very God-fearing people. And one of the biggest issues that are now coming to the surface is pedophilia. People are sacrificing children. They're selling baby parts. They're drinking baby blood. It's unbelievable what's going on. The incredible pedophilia that's going on, the selling of young girls and young boys to the elites, to the governmental elites, is now starting to come to the surface. We need to pay attention to that because that is going to be brought out into the open very soon. And we also know that the one world globalists, there is a one world church starting to emerge. And I believe it's going to be run and headed by the Catholic system, bringing all the religious churches right into their own fold. And that is prophesied in the Word of God. Yes, these things are not just going to come to pass. They are coming to pass. We see it all over the world. We see the rioting in the streets. We see how corrupt the governors are of North America. And also here in Canada, it's unbelievable what is coming to the front. God is going to expose the corruption like we have never seen before. So we need to start praying. For those of you who don't care, who are nonchalant about this whole thing, if you are a Christ one, you need to pray so that God will keep us until he comes for his bride. For the according to scripture and according to what's happening in the Middle East, we are fast running out of time. And for those of you who are looking for encouragement, there's big revival starting all over America. Yesterday I saw on YouTube they had a big revival going on in Minneapolis in a park. The police came and tried to stop it, but they couldn't. Many people were healed. Many people got baptized. Many turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. I was pleasantly surprised by what this guy was showing on his video, through his video camera. And when these things are happening, we know that God is getting ready to do an incredible work on this planet. So when the world system is burning Bibles, when they're burning American flags, when they're rioting in the streets and the governors of the states don't care or even encourage them, when they're trying to take away the police, we know that they have an agenda. And they want to bring it into fruition. But God has anointed a person that's going to stand against them. And that man is Donald Trump. Not that he's a superman by himself, but God has anointed him. So we need to pray for him that God will keep him standing. Yes, the time is coming when Jesus will come back. But before that happens, I believe there's going to be a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit and a big revival will sweep the earth. So open your heart to these things. We are definitely running out of time. Get to know the Lord so he doesn't pass you by when these great and incredible things happen. So let the Lord open your heart and make you a blessing to this. Amen.
Here at Reaching Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2.